because Steve and I were talking last week, maybe week before, about today, and I said, you know, I've got something on my mind I want to go with, and I feel led to stay with it. We began that last week, and we're going to move forward, as I told you last week, to Matthew, but God does things for purpose. And I trust, as I know most men do that stand to try to preach the gospel, that you're going to bring what's on your mind. I thought many times this week about starting when those sisters came down to the tomb. But this has been on my mind, and I've prayed about it up until this morning, and I'm going to go with this. We went in Hebrews and talked about the gospel being delivered to those among the Jewish nation that were born of the Spirit of God. We talked last week from the book of Malachi, speaking about Jacob, have I loved you, Esau, have I hated you. Have not I loved you, saith the Lord. But we've turned so far away from God. Those people had, we have today. And God chastened them and explained to them for it. He told them there would be 400 years without a prophet. 400 years without word from God. He's talking to Jews, okay? Because Israel existed no more. The 10.5 tribes were gone. This was the Jews he was talking to. And they were in bondage. He said, you'll not hear from me for 400 years. And he told them to remember the law of my servant Moses. That's what they had. The only word of God they had for 400 years was the law. Darkness. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no prophet, there is no seer, there is no word of God, the people perish. We must understand the importance, and I say this every week, the words, the election of grace, the choice of God. Why did Christ come into the world to lay his life down and to raise it up for the elect of God, the election of grace, those that God chose, those that God the Father made covenant with the Son to die for? That covenant was sealed by the Holy Spirit of God in the realm of eternity, which has no beginning and no end. So therefore, that covenant has always stood. Wrap our mortal minds around this. This was a time when the gospel is being brought to God's people. There is a man named Matthew, a publican and a sinner, a tax collector. We don't like tax collectors today, but at least today they are monitored. In that day, most of them padded their pockets with the money they took in taxes from the people. Matthew was a man of Judea. He was a Jewish man, yet he was a publican, a tax collector for the Romans. Tell me how much he was liked, and think about that. It shows you again what God takes and what God turns around and what God uses, taking the vile, the base of the earth, and putting them in his service in order to glorify his name, in order to glorify his son. We can talk about Peter, James, and John, those brash, impudent fishermen. We can talk about the Apostle Paul and all that he had when God struck him down on the road to Damascus, and God is glorified in that. It's all revealing to us the manifestation of the Son of God, as creator of heaven and earth, and who gave you life when you were dead in trespass and sins, because he is the life of God. We begin with Matthew speaking to the Jews. You understand at this time, and we'll get more into this in Matthew 10, that they were sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can remember in my younger years where everybody, I think it was around the time of the great healers that came forth, like Oral Roberts and the Church of Latter-day Saints being publicized, and Mormons, and they were talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We've got to find the lost sheep, or these people are the lost sheep. The Mormons believed that they were the lost sheep of Israel, and they were in this land because God had put them here. Let me very plainly tell you the truth by Scripture. They were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? First of all, and foremost, God has never lost anything. In Isaiah 49, when Israel existed no more, God spoke of them as if they were and are and will be. God has never lost anything. The Son of God came into the world with a purpose. He sent his disciples in the beginning to seek out the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're no different from the Jews in the aspect. They're saved the same way. They have to be born of the Spirit of God, and then God would call them into his kingdom, the New Testament kingdom, by the preaching of the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They were sent to the lost sheep. I think it's in Acts 13 where Paul told the Jews, seeing you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That does not mean God gave up on the lost sheep. That means that God had delivered the lost sheep. For God does not fail. They were sent to the lost sheep. And I believe in my heart that both are together now, those that God calls of them into the New Testament church. And none of that was dealing with life and glory as far as saving someone to glory from Israel or Gentiles. What I'm trying to tell you is, now he saved every one of his children, all the Father gave him, but the text was dealing with preaching the gospel and the kingdom of God. That's why Paul said in Ephesians that he's torn down the middle wall of partition between us. But let me stay with the text. Lord, help me. The lost sheep of the house of Israel, they were lost because they had turned away from God. We talked about that last week in Malachi, Rehoboam, God rending the kingdom from him, the 10.5 tribes going to the north, settling in Mount Assyria, and Jeroboam, their king, made the golden calves and set one in Dan and one in Bethel, lest they would go back down to Jerusalem and kill him and return to their brethren. Well, his son was no different. But my point in being, the gospel would be preached to the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The natural man of the Jews received not the things of God, because the natural man cannot receive the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. This is the work of God. This is the purpose of Christ. This is given to the elect of God. And at this point, the preaching is coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew begins the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The generation. If we turn to Luke chapter 3, we'll see a generation which is listed there, which carries us back to Adam. It shows the seed of Christ that God was pleased to take. Lord, let me say this right. It shows the lineage of men which came forth by the grace of God, from whom the Savior would come from. The lineage of men from Adam all the way up to Jacob. Except over there, Jacob's not mentioned. They use, I believe, Heli, the father of Mary. And it goes all the way back to Adam. If you see here the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, it says the son of David. This is beginning with the king of Israel. This is beginning with David, the man after God's own heart. This is teaching us of the king who would come, of the lineage and the kingdom and the reign of the kings of Judah Oh, there were kings of Israel because they had split. Why did they split? Because of our sin. That's why we're saved by grace. We're unable to save ourselves. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that sought after God, and there were none. Psalm 14. When did he look? Before the foundation of the world. That's why the covenant was made. This is dealing with the lineage of the king. This is dealing with the church of God. This is dealing with the kingdom of God here in this world. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Many of them following Jesus around, what were the words they would cry? Thou son of David. The blind man said, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. David was the king of Israel. 132nd Psalm. Verse 11, the Lord, that is God in heaven, has sworn in truth unto David. Do we study, do we know the words that God hath promised unto us? All his ways are yea and amen. We spent several months in Hebrews 11 talking about faith, which is the gift of God that God gives us. Everything that God promised is revealed unto us through Scripture and the Holy Spirit. We need to cling to these things. We need to stand in faith of these things. It makes life in this world much, much better and much easier. And we have more rest because Christ gives us rest from the troubles around us. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the truth of thy body will I set upon. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. That it would forever be upon the throne in Judah. Okay. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The lineage of the kings. The kingdom. Coming up to Christ. The Jews being studied in the law. The Jews being taught the law. Remember ye the law of my servant Moses for 400 years. In darkness they had been taught the law of God. That's what God left them. That's what God told them to remember. That's what God told them to live by. He didn't have to leave that before his purpose. He did. God does not leave his people. God does not forsake his people. And he told them to remember the law of my servant Moses. And they were taught of David through the law and the prophets. The generation, the family, the lineage of Jesus Christ. Savior anointed. Jesus means Savior. Christ means anointed. The Son of David, the king, the son of Jesse, the eighth son of Jesse, the Ephraimite. We'll get more into that as we go through. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Here we have he, Abraham, who was before David, but David is brought to mention first. Because he was the king of Israel. Yes, Saul was a king. They desired a king. Didn't want to be under judges anymore. Give us a king like the people around us. We talked about that going through Hebrews 11. Saul disobeyed God. God removed it from the king. Took it from him. And anointed David. A man after his own heart. King of Israel. A young, ruddy child. I'm not going through David completely again because we've gone through much of it in Hebrews. But Abraham was before David. We went through Abraham in Hebrews. Abram, exalted one, the name means, whom God brought from the land of idolatry, Ur of the Chaldees, that God brought and to the promised land of Canaan. People say Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him to righteous for righteousness. That's what the scripture says. My point I pose to you is why did Abraham believe God? Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Abraham was born of God. That is why Abraham obeyed God. Abraham was before David. And he's bringing the lineage of the king forth through these men that the Jews knew, that the Jews worshiped. They looked for the son of David to come with an army and deliver them from Rome. That was not the way Christ came. He came to this world and humbled himself down to the death of the cross to redeem his people, to save his people from their sins. We'll get to that in this chapter eventually. But we see Abraham. David was the son of Abraham. He came from Abraham. The first man God manifested His power, His purpose, in calling him from idolatry into the service of God in a land that God would give unto him after sin had entered the world. Adam was in a perfect place. Adam was in a euphoria. Adam had free will. Adam made a choice to rebel against God. Adam brought sin and death upon all. There was not another kingdom, so to speak, for God's children. Under the time that God called Abraham, and that's a representation of the church that we have today that Christ founded. The son of David, the son of Abraham. The promise was made to Abraham in Genesis 22 when God had told him to take his son. God changed his name. In 17 of Genesis, from Abram, meaning exalted father, to Abraham, which means a father of many nations. You're going to see the Gentiles in this. Lord, keep my thoughts, please. God commanded Abraham to take his son, his only begotten son. We know Abraham's loins were dead. We know that Sarah's womb was dead and barren. There was no way possible by the ties of nature that they could bear a child. Yet God in His purpose gave life, as God gives life to you, as God gave life to these Jews and called them into the kingdom of God. God gave life and they brought forth their son Isaac. This was he, we'll get to in a moment, Lord willing, who was the promised seed of Israel. This is he who God promised that through him would all nations of the earth be blessed, pointing to Christ. And God came to this man Abraham and told him, take thy son, thine only son Isaac. How precious was that child to Abraham, and how precious was that child to Sarah. Take thine only son Isaac, go unto a place that I'm going to show you, Mount Moriah, the same place where Christ was crucified, and offer him there as an offering to me. And Abraham obeyed God. Okay? Now we know that God provided himself a sacrifice that day because the ram was caught in the thicket. The Lord provided the sacrifice, pointing to Christ. Pointing to Christ. What is today celebrating? The resurrection of the Son of God who bled and died for our sins. But because Abraham obeyed God, why did he obey God? Because he was born of the Spirit of God. And God works His work within each and every one of His child at some point or another as they live in this world. It may be at conception, it may be at death, it may be somewhere in between, but God works His way and there will not be one left. Abraham obeyed God and God told him, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Let's fast forward to Revelation 5. The song they sung unto the Lamb of God, which is the Christ of God, which is the Savior Jesus. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Because thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, people, tongue, and nation. What did he tell Abraham? In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In the kingdom of God. In the knowledge of the Son of God. In the preaching of the gospel. We'll find later on in Matthew where it says he sends his angels to the four corners of earth and they shall gather his elect together. That's not speaking of the last day and the judgment. The last day, Christ returns with the spirits and souls of everyone that has died in Christ. And every creature that God has created in heaven in glory we've never seen, and will recall the saints of God that are in the ground and will deliver them up to heaven along with those which are alive and remain. This is talking sending his angels to the four corners of the earth of the preaching of the gospel, because the gospel was going to be sent to the Gentiles. Every family, every nation, every people, every tongue would be brought into the kingdom of God. He's not talking about all Adam's race. He's talking about the elect of God in the Gentile nations. The promised seed leading to Christ. And Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac shall thy seed be called, not as in seeds, plural as many, but in one seed. That seed was Isaac. It represented the Lord Christ. It was a type and shadow of the Lord Christ. Isaac shall thy seed be called. One man. One man that God would bless. And from him would spring forth multitudes of peoples. Yes, Gentiles too. I hope the Lord will give me the sense to remember that and bring it forth in a moment. And Isaac begat Jacob. Here's the man Jacob. Okay? Here's Israel. Let's talk about grace. Jacob was a sinner. The name itself means supplanter. Why? Let's go back to Genesis 25. We went through some of this when we were going through Hebrews. Paul was speaking to Jews. Matthew is speaking to Jews amongst the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Originally, today it is to every child of God, Greek, Jew, and Greek. And speaking of the power of the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. That's not giving you eternal life. That's bringing life and immortality to light to those that are already born of the Spirit of God. Let's start out in Genesis 25 and let me point out to you, Gentiles. Okay? Because we find that Sarah is dead and she's buried in a field that Abraham purchased. We can find, beginning in verse 12 of Genesis, we can find the sons of Abraham and Hagar, Ishmael, and their descendants. We can come down through here and find those of the Gentiles. And we can see every nation upon the face of the earth represented in these people, which are listed in this book. Jews, Israel, and Isaac, the rest in these Gentiles that are listed. When Christ was born, and we'll get to that and bring this out in more fullness later, the men that came to see him, the wise men from the east, why were they wise? Because God gave them knowledge. They sought the Christ child. It took them 2 years to get there. That's how far away they were. How far does God reach? To the realms of creation. Not one of his children will be lost. But they're listed there in Isaiah, and I'll get to that when we get there. But we're talking about Jacob. We find in Genesis 25, I'll start in verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. You want to see Gentiles? You don't know what Laban means? It means bright, shining. It means white. What do we see here? Japheth. Through Japheth, the Gentiles. Who was Isaac married to? A Gentile. Japheth. white, European, however you want to see this. Okay? He was married to her, and she was barren. Her womb, like Sarah, and the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth, and Mary's, until God gave it life, was barren. Isaac entreated the Lord. Where do we go with our problems? Who do we get help from? Who is our help? Who carries us? Who loves us? Who died for us? Who raised up for our justification? Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. When Josh and Becca got married, Becca couldn't have children. They didn't know if she ever would. And this text came to my mind every day. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I'm not telling you God answered this prayer for my sake. That's not at all what I'm doing. I'm telling you of faith in God, because God can do what God is pleased to do. Josh called me one day. I was coming from Moody back into Leeds. I answered the cell phone. Josh said, "Dad, you can't tell anybody this." And I interrupted him. I said, "Becca's going to have a baby." He said, "How did you know?" Because Isaac entreated the Lord, and the Lord gave child to that woman. And many of God's children were praying to that end. And God blessed that. Okay? His wife conceived. Listen to Jacob and Esau. They struggled together within her. Now you bear this in mind. These two children were in the womb. Therefore they're the same age. They're brothers in the flesh. They're within their mother's womb at the same time. Yet they struggled. They struggled. Brethren, Christ came into the world to save a people. He came to the world to save his people. He suffered upon the cross of Calvary to save his people, those the Father gave him, those contained in the election of grace, those are graven upon the palm of his hand. That's how much he loves you. They struggled within her. And the Lord said to her, "Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels." We struggle daily with those around us that God has sanctified us from, that God has separated us from, that God has made us holy. That means separate and without blame before himself in love. This is the work of God. It's not the work of man, not the choice of man. This is the work of God for his purpose. And he said, "The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." We're talking about Jacob in the lineage of Christ. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red. What does Adam mean? Red, the color of clay created from the dust of the ground. Esau was red. Adam sinned. We all have sin and death, because death, sin and death passed upon all men. Esau came out red. What is that teaching us? God said, "Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated." Jacob was a sinner as Esau was. Yet God loved Jacob and hated Esau. Why? Because Esau was red. His nature, himself, his being, in the sin of Adam. Okay? But Jacob, we see in the lineage of Christ, Jacob, a child of God. And we find the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. They called his name Esau. And after that, his brother came out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Bear in mind, he's 40 years old back over here when she's barren. God answers things in his time. You bear in mind Abraham and Sarah desiring to have a child. And look at the age when Isaac was born unto them. Many years later, God works in his time. Stand in faith. Be patient, children. Deliverance is coming. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. We can see in Scripture, I'm not going through all that, it'd take a month. Well, Jacob loved Leah was the older. He was made to take her. He loved Rachel, the younger girl, and he served for her also. And we can see that children were born unto them and to their handmaids through Jacob. First of all, let's realize all the sin going on here. Let's look at him laying with their handmaids and concubines and these sorts of things. Things that are sinful. And I'm not justifying sin, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all worthy of the everlasting lake of fire that the wicked will inherit. But the Lamb of God laid down his life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of all the children contained in the election of grace. Okay? And no sin, nothing, understand that, can take a child of God away from God or outside of the blood of Christ. The fourth son born unto Leah, the name was Judah. We see Reuben, the firstborn. We see chapter 49 of Genesis as Jacob is blessing them. We see Simeon and Levi. And then we come down to the fourth son born to her. And his name was Judah. And just so you'll know, Judah means praise. We just saw the Levites. That's the tribe the ministry was given to at a later date and time with Moses. But the name Judah itself means praise. The fourth son of Jacob. Okay? Judah, thou art he, verse 8, whom thy brethren shall praise. That's not to say Judah was the one being praised. Judah was there to praise God. The children of God are here to praise God. The elect of God are here to praise God. Here and in heaven in immortal glory. And the sweetest worship is here when God blesses it. We cannot begin to imagine how sweet the blessings of God will be in heaven in immortal glory when all the elect of God stand with him. Now, Judah, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? This is talking about he who sprang from the tribe of Judah, which is Christ, who was a Jew. People want to paint pictures of Christ. The white people want to make him white. Black people want to make him black. He was a Jew, brethren. He came from the tribe of Judah, and he saved his people from among every people, every tongue that have ever been on the face of the earth. And there are many tongues that were spoken years ago, which were not spoken today. Tongues of people who lived on islands in the middle of oceans that men never saw, yet God had a people among them. You understand that? And there wasn't no gospel preached by a preacher in a church there. But God had a people with him. Today we have the gospel. What a precious gift. That's what Paul is telling these Jews. The scepter, the rule over the church, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. That means the peace of God, and that is Christ. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You want proof it's Christ? Binding his foal under the vine, his ass's colt under the choice vine, and he washed his garments in wine, that's blood, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Judah, the lineage of Christ. Jews, this book was written to originally in that day. And Judah begat Perez and Zerah. Oh, this is a... You want to see grace. The Lord God puts a desire within us to love Him, to seek Him, to draw nigh unto Him. That's why that David said, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Christ in you, the hope of glory, the faith of God, the love of God, the Spirit of God causes us to desire to serve God without sin, even though we sin daily and we live in a body that is sin. When this body's laid down, we sin no more. Perez, and Zerah. Chapter 38, Genesis. Try to paraphrase some of this, get through it. Judah went down from his brethren, turned into a certain Adullamite whose name is Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and he went into her. Okay, we all know what's going on. She conceived and bare a son, called his name Ur. She conceived again, bare a son, called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Chabiz when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. This little Jewish woman, this little woman, one of two, only two, mentioned in this chapter with the genealogy of Christ, the harlot Rahab being the other. Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. Let that sink in. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God, we stand in the grace of God. But it's a fearful thing to know that sin is sin, that God hates it, God cannot look upon it, and God will one day destroy it all. He was wicked, and the Lord slew him. Judah said unto Onan, "Go unto thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother." This would later be law. This was tradition. If thy brother died with no seed, the other brother would go to his wife and order to bring forth seed to his brother that his name would be carried on. This is Old Testament. You bear that in mind. Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went to his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground lest he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Wherefore he slew him also. Okay, so there's two of Judah's sons that the Lord himself has killed because of their sin. Can you begin to see grace? Can you begin to see the only way we stand with God in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ? This is the day we celebrate Easter. This is the day He came forth from the grave. Why? He paid our sin debt. He offered Himself as the Lamb of God for the sins of God's people. He laid His life down. He raised it up again. He came forth from the tomb. Why seek ye the living among the dead? For He's not here, He's risen. He brought us to life with Him. Judah told Tamar, "Now, you just hang on. When my son Shelah comes of age, time will come, I'll send him down here to you, and he will raise up seed to your husband, who is deceased." And she mourns as a widow, dresses as a widow, and goes into the time, verse 14, of mourning. She put her widow's garments off from her, okay? She found out Judah was going up to Timnath to shear his sheep, and she put off her widow's garments. She took off her mourning clothes. Doesn't say what it was. It may have been sackcloth and ashes for all we know. Women and men wear black today to represent their mourning. Whatever it was, she put it off and covered her face with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place where she could be seen. This young sister, who is in the lineage of Christ, was determined to bring up seed to her husband, who was deceased, who was dead, who, by the way, was wicked, and the Lord slew him. Okay, let's not leave grace out of the picture, for that's all we have. She knew that Selah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot. Well, we see he's already been that road before. This man, Judah, this man who's named after praise, to praise the Lord, was a sinner, just like I am, just like you are, just like everyone who came forth from fallen Adam. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her, by the way, and said, "Go, I pray thee, let me come into thee." For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. Her face was covered. The vileness of mankind is so dark, and yet the grace of God is so bright. For that grace is the light of God, which is Jesus Christ. And she said, "What wilt thou give me?" You see the wisdom of the young lady. "That thou mayest come in unto me." And he said, "I will send thee a kid from the flock." And she said, "Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it?" Give me something. You don't have the kid. You can't make payment. Give me security. Give me something. How wise is the Holy Spirit? He said, "What will I give thee?" She said, "Thy signet, your ring with your seal identifying you, thy bracelets identifying you, thy staff that you rule with, that you fight animals and protect the sheep with, that is in thine hand." And he gave it her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. Now you see, now through that lineage, seed is coming to keep her husband's name. You see why she's in Matthew chapter 1 in the lineage of Christ. We're talking about lineage. We're talking about human flesh and blood. The people that God was pleased to bring his son from. They're not perfect. We're not perfect. We stand in grace. Here, he gave it her. And came unto her, she conceived by him. She arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood. Well, Judah goes on down the road and he tells his friend the Adullamite to take my pledge of my sheep back to this harlot that was on the road. And they go back down there and she's not there. He asks somebody, "Where's the harlot?" And he says, "There's no harlot here." And he asks different people, "Where's the harlot?" "There's no harlot here." So Judah says, "Let her take it to her, lest we be shamed." He said, "I sent payment. She was not there to receive it." There's a reason things happen in the world, brethren. Many times we don't know them and see them. Most times we probably don't even realize them. But God works his way in heaven and earth. She was not there. and he could not pay her. Therefore, he could not recover his signet and his bracelets and her staff. Well, let's see what happens next. It came to pass about 3 months later. It was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. Lord, have mercy. The judgment of men, I'll keep my mouth shut about former days, and judgment of men and hard hearts to those that made mistakes. I'll keep that to myself. Judah said, bring her forth, let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by this man, whose these are, am I with child. What's he going to say? It's his signet. It's his staff. It's his bracelet. By the man whose these are, am I with child. Judah acknowledged him and said, she hath been more righteous than I. Amen. Because that I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more. Meaning Jacob knew her again no more. Yet seed was brought forth to her son. You're going to see that seed in Matthew chapter 1 in just a moment. And it came to pass in time of travail that behold, twins were in her womb. Here's two again. You see Jacob and Esau. You see twins here. Upon Calvary's cruel tree, you find Christ, the Lamb of God, hanging between two men who reviled him, who hated him. Yet all of a sudden, one cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What do you reckon happened to him? There wasn't a preacher there. There wasn't a choir. There wasn't a Sunday school. There wasn't any money. The Spirit of God gave him life, revealed the Son of God to him because he's the elect of God there at the point of death. There at the point of death, born of the Spirit of God, and cried out in mercy to the Son of David. And God said, verily I say unto thee, today, this day, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Twins. There's a reason this is revealed to us. Twins. Christ hanged between two men. Christ sanctified, separated his people from the world. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand from her womb, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread. We'll get to this probably again with Rahab in just a verse or two, but you see that scarlet thread, that slim thread of crimson, scarlet, representing the blood of the Lamb of God, showing our salvation in the Lamb of God. Just as Rahab was spared by that representation of the Christ of God hanging in the window, as she was told to do, that thread was placed on his hand. And it came to pass, well, the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first, just the hand. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? The one who put his hand out should have been in position by nature to come out first. Yet this child has come out first. The elder shall serve the younger. The law should serve to grace. Do you understand that? This breach be upon thee. Therefore she called his name Perez. Perez is the one with the crimson thread. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Zerah became an enemy to Israel and fought against them and was destroyed. Verse 3, Matthew 1. Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Zerah is not here anymore in this lineage. There will be men mentioned in here, and there will be men that were not mentioned. The ones that are not mentioned were carried away, being cursed of God, so they're therefore not in this lineage. Okay? And all these men are not good. There's evil kings, there's good kings. He's showing us the lineage of Christ. He's showing us the grace of God. And Perez begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Nathan, and Nathan begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, Rahab the harlot. Where do we find this again? We fast forward to the book of Ruth. Start in chapter 4 and then go back and read the book. Verse 18 of chapter 4 of Ruth. These are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Abinadab. Abinadab begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. I want you to, first of all, stop and think of the great love that was manifested through God's Spirit upon His people in the book of Ruth. Here's a barren widow who has to return home to Israel. She's without anything. And one of her handmaids loved her so much, she said, "Thy God be my God, I'll go with thee." And she went. Now this teaches us how we're to love each other and how God works through our love. She went back with her mistress. She was allowed to glean the crops. We mentioned that last week. The corners of the fields were left, that the poor who could not provide, that the poor who had nothing to eat, could come and glean the remnants of the crops. They were instructed of God to do this. It's not to be begrudging, it's to be done in love. For love is the fulfilling of the law. Through that love, through that mercy, through the blessings of God upon them, came forth through the line to Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. It's 14 generations of patriarchs and prophets and judges contained in that. We'll get to that when we get to verse 17. Where are we stopping? Verse 6, Lord willing, we'll be there next week in verse 7.